হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে कृष्ण हरि हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balaba Girivarar Hari Gopijana Balaba Girivarar Hari Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Ravana Chari Yamuna Tira Ravana Chari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balaba Giribara Dhari Gopijana Balaba Giribara Dhari Gopijana Balaba Giribara Dhari Yasodhanandana Vajja Janaranjana Yasodhanandana Vajja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vamnachari Jamuna Tira Vamnachari Ayurada Madhava Kunjabihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Parivrajakacharya Shtataya Satoshi Shrimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Srila Prabhupad Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Shri Shri Radhashyama Sundar Lalita Vishakadevis Ki Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Niravasesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3 Chapter 27, text number 19. Please repeat. Akatuhu Karma Bandha Ayam Purushasya Yadashrayaha Guneshu Satsu Pakritehe Kaivalyam Teshvata Katam akatu karma bandoyam purushasya yadashrayaha guneshu satsu prakritehe kaivalyam teshvatakatam akatu karma bandoyam Purushasya yadashrayaha Guneshu satsu prakrite Kaivalyam teshvatakatam Akartu karma bandayam Purushasya yadashrayaha Guneshu satsu prakrite kaivalyam te shvatakatam. Akatu karma bandhayam. Purushasya yadashrayaha. Guneshu satsu prakrite. Kaivalyam te shvatakatam. Atatu kama bandhayam. Purushasya yadashrayaha. Guneshu satsu prakrite. Kaivalyam te shvatakatam. Atatu kama bandhayam. Purushasya yadashrayaha. Guneshu satsu prakrite. Kaivalyam te shvatakatam. Akatu kama bandhayam. Purushasya yadashrayaha. Guneshu satsu prakrite. Kaivalyam te shvatakatam. Any ladies, Matajis? Akatu kama bandhayam. Purushasya yadashrayaha. Guneshu satsu prakrite. Kaivalyam te shvatakatam. Akatu kama bandhayam. Purushasya yadashrayaha. Guneshu satsu prakrite. Kaivalyam te shvatakatam. Akatu. Of the passive performer. The non-doer. Karma bandha. Bondage to fruitive activities. I am this. Purushasya. Of the soul. Yatashrayaha. Caused by attachment to the modes. Guneshu. While the modes, satsu, are existing. Prakritehe, of material nature. Kaivalyam, freedom. Teshu, those. Ataha, hence. Katam, how. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hence, even though he is the passive performer of all activities, how can there be freedom for the soul as long as material nature acts on him and binds him? Now, is there other devotees here who need a translation into Russian or any other language? If there are, please try to gather together and maybe somebody can translate as best they can. Purport. Although the living entity desires freedom from the contamination of matter, he is not given release. Actually, as soon as a living entity puts himself, note the words, puts himself under the control of material nature, his acts are influenced by the qualities of material nature. And the soul, that is, he becomes passive. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, prakriti kriyamanani gunahi. The living entity acts according to the qualities of material nature. He falsely thinks that he is acting. But unfortunately, it says, unfortunately, he is passive. In other words, he has no opportunity to get out. No opportunity to get out of the control of material nature. Because it has already conditioned him. They say sometimes a person is conned. So we've all been conned in that sense, conditioned. But it's our own choice. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated, it is very difficult to get out of the clutches of material nature. One may try in different ways to think that everything is void in the ultimate issue, that there is no God, and that even if the background of everything is spirit, it is impersonal. This is quite understandable, since their aversion towards Krishna, we could say, is their cause of our being here. So that aversiveness perpetuates with this impersonal understanding that there is no personal God, or there's no one to serve, or no one to love. This speculation may go on, but actually it is very difficult to get out of the clutches of material nature. Devahuti poses the question that although one may speculate in many ways, where is liberation? As long as one is under the spell of material nature. The answer is also found in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Who knows this verse? 7:14. Daivi hyesha gunamai Amamaya Dharatyaya Dharatyaya. Very difficult to overcome. Next line. Mamevaye Prapadyante Mayamitam Tarantite. That only one who has surrendered himself unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna, Mameviye prapadyante, can be freed from the clutches of Maya. Because only Krishna can release us. Can't get out by our own endeavor. We may try, but it's not possible. This material nature, Mayadyakshena Prakritisu Te Sacharacharam, is working under Krishna's direction. It's not under our control. We may feel ourselves as such, but actually we're not the controller of nature. Since Devahuti is gradually coming to the point of surrender, her questions are very intelligent. How can one be liberated? How can one be in a pure state of spiritual existence as long as he is strongly held by the modes of material nature?
This is also an indication to the false meditator. There are many so-called meditators who think, I am the Supreme Spirit Soul. I am conducting the activities of material nature. Under my direction, the sun is moving and the moon is rising. I remember when Jadarani joined, well, I wasn't around, but she said that before she came, that she was meditating on this idea. I think it was her, one of the ladies, that she would stop the sun and the moon. She would stop the sun from rising that morning. She went out into the desert somewhere with this meditative idea that I will control the rising of the sun. She meditated and meditated, and the sun rose. We may try and think like this, but it goes on beyond our control. They think that by such contemplation or meditation they can become free. But it is seen that just 3 minutes after finishing such nonsensical meditation, Prabhupada gives them credit here, 3 minutes, they are immediately captured by the modes of material nature. I think it was one English, was it George Bernard Shaw? He stated, at midday, God's war on man's war on God begins at 12 o'clock midday. Man's war on God begins at 12:01. God wins. Yes, he wins at midday also. But just a little poetic rendition to show that we try to defeat God, but there is no way. He is under. Immediately after his high-sounding meditation, a meditator becomes thirsty and wants to smoke or drink. Now, if you ever go to Malaysia, which you may not have done, there is one very famous festival called Taipusam. It's a Muslim country, Malaysia, by majority, but there are many Hindus there, and they have this festival called Taipusam. Have any of you seen it? Ramana, you've seen? You've been there? No. Well, we always go there for Sankirtan, because there are 700,000 or 800,000 Hindus all gathered together. It's a Muslim country. The biggest festival in Malaysia. And it's quite an event. They stick all these, South Indians, they stick all these things through their mouths. They call it kavadis on their heads. They have these like these temples on their heads, you know, things sticking through their noses, their ears, and in their backs. They put hooks in their backs, and they have ropes pulling chariots, and their skin's coming out. They've got a huge spear about 6 foot long going through their cheeks, and all sorts of things stuck on their bodies, some of them firing arrows in every direction. It's quite a bizarre event, colorful. And they perform some kinds of austerities. They don't eat meat for a month even. And they don't have sex for some time, and all sorts of terrible austerities like this. And in this way, then they do the grand finale. And they walk for many miles to this temple of Lord Kartikeya, Lord Murugan. And there they perform this great yajna. They go up about, I don't know, hundreds of steps with all these weights on them and different things stuck through them. And they dance and dance like madmen in trance. They get to the temple and they dance and dance and dance madly. And then they turn around, the next one spins in. Hundreds and thousands of them coming like this. Thousands of them. They come from miles around. So many of them. And it goes on for a day and a half like this. And then as soon as they take all the spears out and all the spikes and hooks and whatever else they got stuck in them, they immediately, almost invariably, start smoking and drinking. Immediately. It's just amazing. No real change of heart is taking place. So this meditation, depending on what type of meditation, all these various activities, what is the use? We're still stuck in the material world. The purpose of it all is to get out of the material world, to get out of Maya's grip. But we don't want to. We even use religion. Help, my Lord, please help me to enjoy this material world, to entangle me more and more in birth and death. Sense gratification. Give me sense grat. Yehi samsparsha jobhoga. Dukkayone evate. Intelligent person knows that this is the source of suffering. We're still not very intelligent, some of us. We still think, you know, let me enjoy my senses. What can I get out of this Krishna consciousness? The purpose of our movement is to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses. To give up this idea of separate enjoyment from Krishna, or that Krishna is simply an order supplier to satisfy me, this is not the idea. We're here with a golden opportunity here in Vrindavan Dham, in the association of the devotees at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, with the most merciful Shishi Radha Shama Sundar and Krishna Bharam and Gorni Thai, an opportunity to get out free. Free, not just people want to get free of suffering, but they don't want to get free of the causes of suffering. The causes of suffering is this independent concept, idea that we can be happy separate from Krishna, or that I am the doer or the enjoyer. This perpetuates our distress. We pray to God, please release me, my Lord, free me from sinful reactions. I don't want to suffer. All right then. But we carry on doing things which cause suffering. We don't pray for that very often. Please release me from activities which, even without say devotion, even that concept which will free me from suffering. Please release me from those activities which will cause suffering. Of course, more positively, we would pray for the mercy of the Lord that we'll be engaged in unalloyed loving devotional service. But even on this plane, we don't pray either. My Lord, please release me from the reactions of my pious activity. No, give me the results of them. And release me from the results of my sinful activity. This is the ignorance people are in. Baba tells a story one time of a lady, an old lady in the forest. And she's very poor. She's carrying wood. She collects wood in the forest and takes it to the market for selling for a few rupees or whatever. One day, she's getting old. She's carrying this wood on her head. And all of a sudden, the wood falls off. Oh, God. Oh, God, she says, help me. Boop. Immediately, Krishna appears. Yes? You want my help? Are you God? Yes. Oh, please help me. She happened to be there was a Kalpa Riksha tree right there. All right. What can I do for you? Oh, God, please pick up these sticks and put them back on my head. All right, then. Oh, thank you, God. You're so kind. And she walks back off to the market with her sticks on her head. So many examples probably gives this foolish mentality which we're in. She could have been, well, she could have asked even materially for so many things. She could have completely released. We don't have to work like asses like this. It's not our business. God, help me to do this. Foolish, help me to smash rocks, Prabhupada said one time. Give me the strength to smash these stones. Crazy life. He is under the strong grip of material nature. Yet he thinks that he is already free from the clutches of Maya. He wants to go to heaven, Svarga Loka, enjoy up there. Many of the religions of today, they visualize heaven as being some place where there are virgin girls, damsels, which you can enjoy. Yes, with no suffering reactions, no need to get married or have a divorce, just enjoy. No abortion, nothing like that. Where there is no God, you see the pictures sometimes of heaven. Everyone's there except for God. Our dog's there, our uncle's there, aunt is there. We're there. No God, thank God. This question of Devahutis is for such a person who falsely claims that he is everything, that ultimately everything is void and that there are no sinful or pious activities. So when they get fed up with that, they go to the next stage. There's nothing. These are all atheistic inventions. Actually, unless a living entity surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as instructed in Bhagavad Gita, there is no liberation or freedom from the clutches of Maya. Because that release is only possible by the mercy of Krishna. So as we heard the other day, in talking a little bit about Nam Yajna, Nam Sankirtan, this sacrifice, how one devotee asked Prabhupada, "So Prabhupada, if they're hearing the holy names and they're atheistic, what is the result?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, very good result. If somehow or other they hear the holy name, they will become theistic. They will be delivered." This is the process. On their own, by their speculations, they can go on speculating, the states in the Brahma Samhita, for millions and millions of years. But they will not understand the nature of Krishna, the nature of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth reveals himself to the one he chooses. Otherwise he remains a chincha, inconceivable. He's not conceivable by our powers. Only when he himself bestows that mercy. And that mercy is delivered through the merciful devotees. Now we're coming on the, almost on the eve. Tomorrow is the eve of the Prabhupada Book Marathon. Some of you may be going home to your places of service. Some of you may be staying here at our real home. But wherever we are, this meditation on pleasing Srila Prabhupada, this meditation on assisting Srila Prabhupada in delivering the conditioned souls from their conditional state, should be in all of our hearts. This is the most purifying meditation. How we can please Srila Prabhupada. How Prabhupada himself, his only practical question to his spiritual master was, "How can I serve you?" Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master again and again repeated the same instruction to our Srila Prabhupada, that you should preach this Krishna consciousness, particularly in the Western world. Our Prabhupada wanted to preach in India, he said one time, but his spiritual master wanted him to preach in the West. So Prabhupada did both. He preached everywhere. Of all places, in 1935, when Srila Prabhupada was here in Vrindavan, he'd been initiated then, by Charanaravinda, he was a grihastha, of course, but he happened to be at Radhakund with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the banks of Radhakund. Of all places, it's quite ironic, right there on the banks of Radhakund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave our Srila Prabhupada that instruction. First of all, he described that he was concerned that there was materialism creeping into the Gaudiya mat, that they were starting to think, this is my room, this is mine, this mentality of proprietorship, control, was creeping in. He said, it is better that we tear down the marble. At that time they just had built a big temple in Calcutta, a place called Bagh Bazar. He said, better that we tear down the marble from this temple and use it to print books. And then he said to her, Srila Prabhupada, if ever you get money, please print books. Right there at Radhakund, where most devotees go, generally not for that kind of instruction, or subject matter even. In the most holy, most spiritually surcharged place, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj gave this powerful instruction to Srila Prabhupada. And it behooves us all, no matter what our services is, all services connected to Krishna are important. We should not minimize their importance. But we should all develop this mood of a preacher. We should all see ourselves as instruments of Srila Prabhupada to assist him, even if we're doing the pujari work, which is very important, or cooking, or managing. They're all necessary activities to facilitate the spreading of Krishna consciousness or to purify us. But we mentioned, or you heard the other day, how Jiva Goswami has explained that all the activities must go on. They must all be accompanied with kirtan. Chanting must always be there, because kirtan is the most important of all of the activities. But within all the activities, kirtan must go on. And that kirtan, you can say the two sides, the same coin. Srila Prabhupada gave us the other side particularly to add to the literal performance of kirtan. And he gave us the Brihat Madanga. He called this book distribution the Brihat Madanga, to deliver those conditioned souls in this world from voidism. Particularly, what is this poem? What was that poem Srila Prabhupada wrote? That particular verse which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj was very, very pleased with. In personal calamity thou hast removed. What was the whole verse? How does it begin? Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamity thou hast removed. His spiritual master very much appreciated that verse. In personal calamity is a disaster. And we should not become victimized by it either. Absolute is sentient, personal, thou hast proved. This was very pleasing to Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada made his life and soul to preach the message of Krishna consciousness. Everything we do is not what we do necessarily, but the consciousness in which we act. Are we doing it for our self-aggrandizement, for our selfish means or ends? Or are we in this mood of giving? Is the nature of the soul to love? Naturally to be loved, but it's our actual nature to love, not to be loved, to serve, not to be served, to give, not to get. This is the nature of the soul, and this is where the soul finds happiness. Not in getting or being loved or being served, but by giving up this selfish motivation or misconception. And in the material sense, of course, that's one thing that's still covered by ignorance, but dovetailing the natural
tendency of the soul towards Krishna. But in this material world, we don't know what is that or how to do that. We have no knowledge or information. So the devotees, on behalf of Krishna, take this great risk. Come into this world and preach the truth. That our real business is to give up this selfish desire for either material happiness or liberation, so to speak. False liberation. But they preach, they teach, they give the connection to Krishna. Otherwise there's no hope. People are bound up in the modes of nature. Trapped. Trapped. No way out. Only we can get out with the help of others. It's like being buried underground. The coverings of this universe are so great. So because the book marathon is coming up, I just wanted to read a few things which Srila Prabhupada said. Fortunately, we don't have notes here, but I've got notes here and have my notes on book distribution, so we had to find a few here and there. Just to remind us of Srila Prabhupada's will, we're all his children. It is the duty of the children to follow the will of the Father. Bhagavad Gita is like the will of Krishna. And in there, Krishna says that one who preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita is the most dear to me. There will never be one more dear to me than he who preaches this message. So Srila Prabhupada took this to heart. I'm just going to read these. They're not in any particular order. Just to help us to meditate on the importance of our being here. And to understand we can all be preachers. It doesn't mean that we are all necessarily going to be direct on the front line, so to speak. But assisting the preachers, developing the mood of a preacher, behaving in such a way that it attracts people to Krishna consciousness, encouraging others to come and engage in service, worshipping the deities in such a devotional way that naturally people will be attracted, preparing wonderful foodstuffs which attract people's senses even, ultimately attract their soul. So many ways that we can preach, different channels. But this preaching, giving, share, whatever we've received, don't be a miser. Miser will result in misery. Pass it on, you'll get more. The more we give, without asking, the more one gets. This is the nature of relationship. This is Krishna's reciprocation. He will release one automatically from the grips of Maya, which are otherwise impossible to get out of if we dedicate ourselves to assisting Prabhupada. Similarly, Prabhupada, in a lecture, a morning walk in Los Angeles in 1973, if you do not keep yourself fit to preach, then your temples will all be closed in due course of time. Without preaching, you will not feel enthused to continue the temple worship. Become a material business or even a burden. And without temple worship, you cannot keep yourself pure and clean. They both have to be there. The two things must go on, parallel lines. Unless we take care of the books and preach and read ourselves, understand the philosophy, this Hare Krishna will be finished within a few years. Because there will be no life. How long one can artificially go on? Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, mechanical. That will be artificial, no life. Without preaching, without understanding philosophy, you cannot keep your strength. Everyone should be thoroughly well conversed with the philosophy which we are putting. That means you must read thoroughly every day. So many books we have got. And Bhagavat is so perfect that any verse you read, you get a new enlightenment.
It is so nice. Either Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Also in Los Angeles next year, July the 13th, 74, my Guru Maharaj used to say, Prana Ate Jhana Se Hetu Prachar. One who has got life, he can preach. The dead man cannot preach. Logic. So you become with life, not like dead man. One time, some devotees were criticizing ISKCON, saying that in ISKCON there are so many problems. So the devotee, is actually Mahavishnu Goswami, replied. He said, well, this is proof that ISKCON is alive. You have no problems, you may think like that, but only a dead body has no problems. Live body means there may be problems. ISKCON is alive. In this world, you have to be dead to have no problems. They are dead men. So you become with life, Prabhupada said, not like dead men without life. And Prabhupada then went on to describe most of his godbrothers, saying they are like dead men. Because they're not preaching. Not going out. Right here in the Krishna Balaram temple, I remember one godbrother, Srila Prabhupada, not godbrother, he was a godnephew of Srila Prabhupada, giving a talk one day on Prabhupada's Tirobhav and paraphrasing what he said. He's quite astonishing, actually, considering where he was coming from. He said that, referring to our Swami Maharaj, our Srila Prabhupada, he said, alone understood the will of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj to preach, whilst others were sitting around philosophizing about tattvas which they cannot realize. Swami Maharaj took the instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta upon his head and attacked the world of sense gratification and science. And thus he succeeded and proved his unique position. Prabhupada taught this. We're not here just for comfortable living. This is where, amazing enough, this is where, I remember Prabhupada wrote one letter at our Sanctam party in London in 1972. He wrote one letter. Our party leader's name was Prabhupada Vishnu, now Swami. It was a good party. The party consisted of, first in Europe, Prabhupada Vishnu, Mahavishnu, who was also the white-skinned Mahavishnu, Swami also, Vijendra Kumar, who's now Bhakti Vijendra Nandana Swami, and one other wonderful devotee who's now in New Zealand, and my lowly self, was the party. And it was a party. And Prabhupada said it was a party, although he said it's very austere. Living in the vans, very cold, eating very little, distributing books day in, day out. He said, but for you, it is fun. It is fun. And it was and is. Don't say was. It is fun. We talk of the old days. There are no old days. In one sense, we say like that. And it's nice. But in reality, we have to live in the present. It is no different now. In fact, it is better now. Much, much, much better. There is a bigger field, a better field, and we should be fitter for the field. Not fatter, fitter. Don't sit around just enjoying, trying to find a nice comfortable room, nice comfortable facilities. Yes, very nice. No. Prabhupada gave all that up and went to America. He didn't have it here either. But he gave up living in Vrindavan. It was a very austere life. He gave it up living in Vrindavan and he went alone to New York. He was a young man, of course. He was only 70 years old. I know that many of us are very old. We're already 30 or 40 years and we're too old for all of that. I did it before. I mean, now I've got to get my nest together and lay a few eggs and enjoy myself. Perhaps for a few years, but we should understand that the real business in this world is to preach. The real business in this world is to help others to come to Krishna consciousness. So let us not be dead. A dead man. Let's be alive. Let's use our yesterday's verse about intelligence and consciousness and the soul. That the sign of the soul, you know, you have to, without the two have to be there. The dharma of the soul. The dharma of the soul, the nature of the constitution of the soul, is proper constitution. So use our intelligence to see what will actually bring an end to suffering. Misuse of intelligence is to try to rationalize how I can avoid suffering, how I can get freed of suffering. Misuse of intelligence in the material sense. Ultimately, it's the correct use, but we just don't know where to repose it. When it's reposed in relationship with Krishna, then it's proper intelligence. And then it's like the connection, the soul with the intelligence is properly situated so that we can control our minds and use them in Krishna's service. So let us use our minds, control our minds with our intelligence, how we can actually, be assistant to spreading Krishna consciousness, absorbing ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna in kirtan, preaching and so on. I leave that one. If you sell a book to someone, that is better than your speaking to them. What will your 3 minutes preaching do? But if they read a book, it may turn their life. Go on preaching, that is the highest perfection of activity, and do not worry for anything. Krishna is so much appreciative of this preaching work that he will give you every facility as much as you have ambition. Every desire will be fulfilled. Yavan arta uta pane sarvatak samplatodike. Krishna says, whatever purpose is served by the small pond is immediately served by the great reservoir. So if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will provide everything. All one's desires will be fulfilled. Maybe in a different way, but you will be satisfied by channeling or dovetailing our desire towards Krishna's desire, focusing our intelligence on Krishna's will. Srila Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness movement means preaching. Without preaching, one can have no taste. And without taste, you will not be able to go on with this Hari Hari Bol. If you don't preach, in a few years after I leave, there will be no more Hare Krishna movement. We see sometimes devotees who are not in the mood of preaching, if they don't lead the kirtan or don't have their way, they walk away. Self-centered. We're here to serve the name, not to control it or get something out of it. To serve it. To serve him. To serve Srila Prabhupada. Not what do I get out of it. Modern day philosophy. It used to be, what can I do, Prabhu? Please engage me in some service. Devotees will be going up to you. Please, Prabhu, give me some service. I've got nothing to do. Engage me. Sometimes we see that's always, sometimes it's there. In many cases it's not so. You've got to beg the devotees. Please, Prabhu, no. Before you even got the question out sometimes. No. But, no, I'm busy. No. What am I getting out of all of this? You sometimes hear. But if you don't preach, in a few years after I leave, there will be no more Hare Krishna movement. Because no one is preaching in the churches, they're all closing up. So why don't you get serious about this preaching work? Practically speaking, my Guru Maharaj has invented this movement for that purpose. My ambition is that you make a revolution against this godless society. A revolution against this godless. Not that we just sit, make a comfortable situation, or whatever it is, talk, sit around just simply debating what's going on, this, that, the other. Let's get on with the business. We haven't got time to waste. There's not a moment to waste. Death may come and can't avoid it. Anything may happen at any moment. The world is suffering. People are dying and suffering in so many ways without Krishna consciousness. We haven't got time to waste. Sitting around criticizing, gossiping, this thing, that thing. Let's get on with the business and do what we can to become Krishna conscious and preach Krishna consciousness. Use every moment for chanting Hare Krishna. Don't be mechanical. Mechanical means one only does the minimum. I've finished my 16 rounds. And to hell with it. Damn it. I can now do, Prabhupada said in his own words, now I can do any damn thing I like. I've finished my rounds. This is not devotion, or something. But the real thing, we should always be thinking, Prabhupada said, this is intelligence. That we're always trying to make the mind. You chant. Come on, chant. Shut up and chant Hare Krishna. This is intelligence. Mind, shut up. Chant Hare Krishna. No. Get back here. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Come back here, you rascal. Chant Hare Krishna. This is intelligence. This is what develops our coming closer relationship to Krishna. We'll awaken more of a spontaneous mood of devotion. Not trying to avoid or trying to minimize. Trying to increase. My ambition is that you make a revolution. That is my mission. That is why I continue on, even at this advanced age. We want to guide everyone. So you have to know my books, read and preach. Both things must be there. Then you will have potency. Preaching means fighting. It doesn't mean necessarily physical, but fighting in the sense against the mind, against opposition, philosophical or otherwise, and so on and so forth. Prabhupada said, so preaching is always difficult. That I have repeatedly saying. You cannot take preaching very easy going. Preaching must be fight. Do you mean to say fighting is easy thing? Fighting is not easy thing. Whenever there is fight, there is danger. There is responsibility. So preaching means that. What is the preaching? Because people are ignorant. We have to enlighten them. That is preaching. Now Narayan asks, when you came to the Western world, Prabhupada, no one anywhere believed that it would be successful, I think. But actually it has become very successful by preaching. Prabhupada replied, I myself did not believe that I shall be successful. What to speak of others? But because I did in the proper line, so it has become successful. Prabhupada had faith in the instruction, not the result. We have sometimes faith in the result, but not the instruction. If the result doesn't come, forget it. Prabhupada's faith was in the instruction, not the result. Even if no one comes, Prabhupada said, we will continue to preach. Even if no one listens to the kirtan, as we heard the other day, we will still continue chanting. Even if no one hears. Because first it pleases Krishna, and it will purify the atmosphere. One or two more. There is no comparison. There is no literature throughout the universe like Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no comparison. There is no competition. Every word is for the good of human society. Every word, each and every word. Therefore we stress so much in the book distribution. Somehow or another, if the book goes in one hand, he will be benefited. At least he will see, oh, they have taken so much price. Let me see what is there. In another place, Prabhupada said, let me see what the nonsense has given me. If he reads one sloka, his life will be successful. If one sloka, one word, this is such nice thing. Therefore, we are stressing so much, please distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. A greater madunga. We are chanting, playing our madunga. It is heard within this room or little more. But this madunga will go home to home, country to country, community to community, this Brihat Madunga. It was also in Los Angeles, 74. And the last one we'll read here. There is no doubt about it. This was at Bhaktivedanta Manor in 73. There is no doubt about it. To distribute books is our most important activity. The temple is a place, not for eating and sleeping, but as a base from which we send out our soldiers to fight with Maya. Fight with Maya means to drop thousands and millions of books into the lap of the conditioned souls, just like during wartime the bombs are raining from the sky like anything. So you're expert in the field. I also like your program of sending our best men to teach the others. That is actual process of Krishna consciousness. Train others, continue this program, so that in the future every devotee in our movement will know the art of distributing books. So along with the prasad distribution, along with the Nam Sankirtan, these three activities are always going to be there. Others may come along to facilitate that, but these are our main activities. They should go hand in hand to change the attitude, the mentality of the conditioned souls. Not physical change, but attitudinal change, consciousness. Change of consciousness. And it's the change of consciousness which will evoke the release by the mercy of Krishna from this material world. It is not a physical thing, a forced issue. You may escape from prison by force, but you'll be caught and put back in again. You may make your situation in the prison more comfortable, but still one's in a prison. Even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. It doesn't matter. You may do it by these means, but only when one's released by the actual authority is one a free man, or is the real freedom. And this is the release path. This is how we get our release papers, by assisting Srila Prabhupada to spread consciousness of Krishna to others. So we say request, suggest, recommend. If we want to be happy, we want to taste happiness, freedom of the soul, take every opportunity we can to preach or to go for Sankirtan, or various forms of Sankirtan. Don't be lazy. Don't be a miser. Go at it every time we can. Preach to the devotees also. Preach to guests. Look after guests nicely. Treat them nicely. Treat devotees nicely. And everyone we meet on the street. Yada deka tara kara krishna upadesha mara agaya guru tara hana edesha. Try to become a guru and help deliver all those in this miserable material world. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question? One more day to go if you're on the marathon. You can always go at any time. Officially, it's the day after tomorrow. You can distribute books in so many ways. Any questions? Somewhere someone is, don't know who, at the back. Vishal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Vishal Bhu.
Bhu.
Yeah, not Prabhu.
Prabhu.
Leave the pra and just say Vishal Bhu.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. So there's war still going on in Bombay, Mumbai. I just left the ashram. They have a big TV set. About 155 persons are dead at the Taj, the war is going on at the Taj Hotel in Mumbai. And there's three terrorists that are still, they're still battling. They're showing a live run of what's going on right now. So how do we preach to the terrorists?
How do we preach to thee?
To the terrorists.
Terrorists. How do we preach to the terrorists? Who is a terrorist? Is there anyone in this world who's not a terrorist? I sometimes wonder. We get, you know, we define this one as a terrorist and that one as a terrorist, and this definitely, of course, the mentality of such persons who behave like this is demoniac, or call it what you will. But in one sense, the whole world is in the situation of being controlled by higher sources, but being at least on the surface, is being affected by the terrorist mentality of so many people in this world today who are hijacking, exploiting the very purpose of this human life itself, which is meant for God realization. So what do we do? How do we preach to the terrorists? Well, as I said, I see everyone in a sense to different degrees. Of course, a lot of people are innocent, but in one, Prabhupada said they're to some degree innocent, but in one, many, many people are, they may not be called terrorists, but they're also terrorists. Those in leadership positions are the probably bigger terrorists than the ones fighting in Bombay. They're causing more unrest, disturbance, but because they're in charge, they make the laws such to justify their activity. So they're also very difficult to preach to. By mass sankirtan, distributing prasadam and the holy names to everyone, performing kirtan, more and more kirtan. We don't do nearly enough kirtan. When I was interviewing many of our senior devotees about kirtan standards in our movement, and one of the things that I like the most, which comes out prominently, is that what do you think about kirtan in ISKCON? There's only one problem: we're not doing enough of it. The main comment. The details may follow, but the main problem is we should do more kirtan. All these things. One devotee said to me yesterday, actually, he said, I think that the reason for this is there's not enough kirtan going on. These things are going on. It's a material world. These things are bound to go on. They've been going on since the beginning of the creation. Ravana, Hiranya was also a terrorist. Hiranyakashipu was a terrorist. All terrorists. Kamsa was a terrorist. Hitler, you could say, was a terrorist. Churchill was a terrorist. They're all terrorists. Practically one after the next. So our business, our weapons, the holy name, Sankirtan Yajna, must be performed to purify the atmosphere of the world today. And book distribution, prasad distribution, chanting the holy names, and becoming ourselves Krishna conscious, and not just, you know, mechanical. And then by the good wishes, because the devotee doesn't have, spiritually speaking, anger even to the terrorist, but rather he feel compassion, because they're causing, maybe, I'm not the judge, but one would generally understand that they're behaving in a way to cause themselves so much suffering in the future. The devotee feels sorry for them, that they're in so much ignorance, and maybe get angry sometimes. But actual compassion of a Vaishnava is he feels compassion for them, and by that compassionate mood, the Lord reciprocates with the devotee. As we mentioned the other day, I don't know where, but maybe here, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada, in one purport regarding Shivananda Sen and his dog, how the dog went back to Godhead because he became a favorite of Shivananda Sen. Prabhupada says, I would like that all of my disciples become pure devotees. So by their good wishes alone, all the living entities in the world will go back to Godhead even without their knowledge. So a devotee always feels and prays for the welfare of others, even if he can't approach them directly for whatever reason. One prays for their welfare, those who appear to be victimed and those who are cheats and cheated, victims and victimized, whatever it may be. The mood of devotee is to pray. The best way is, others have other services which they can probably more effectively offer. But as far as I understand, my business is just to try to perform Nam Sankirtan, to inspire or encourage devotees to try to go on hiring Nam Sankirtan more and more. For instance, we were in one city in England recently called Newcastle. See it in many places. Very rough place. Materially, we go to the Harinam Kirtan and into the parks and the streets for hours, and people really appreciate it. I don't know who they are, drunkards, yobbos, layabouts, football supporters, all kinds of persons. We come to one park and it's full of emos. You know what an emo is? Who knows what an emo is? I don't have them in India. You know what an emo is, Vamana. They dress in black. Their idea is self-destruction. There's no point of life. The point of life is to die. They have a weird philosophy. They're like imitation goths. He knows what I'm talking about, I can see. You an emo? No. And there's some young teenagers. As soon as we go in the park, they all go crazy. Hundreds of them following us for ages on kirtan. This is the only thing that seems to make sense in their lives. Why are they terrorists, we have to ask? Why are they so angry? Why are they? What is wrong? We think getting rid of them is that's not the solution. People are devoid of Krishna consciousness, then it's not surprising that they become angry. It's not surprising that they want to kill themselves or just become hopeless or become Mayavadis or something like that.
So Maharaj, in a nutshell, is what you're saying is that anyone who's not God conscious or Krishna conscious is more or less a terrorist or performing violence. And the solution to being more or less a terrorist or a violent person is to engage in devotional service to Lord Krishna. Engage in devotional service.
Somehow or another, we have to become like Jayananda Prabhu. You know Jayananda very well because you were one of his close associates and you saw how he behaved. Even if the man was a vicious, antagonistic, drunken, whatever it may be, you saw. You can tell us, how did Jayananda deal? Tell us.
He was gentle, kind, merciful,
gentle.
All divine qualities.
Did you hear? Gentle, kind, merciful, full of divine qualities. He had no enemy. He didn't see anyone as an enemy. He saw them all as ultimately as persons who deserve Prabhupada's mercy, deserve Krishna consciousness. We have to follow. He's an acharya. Persons like Jayananda Prabhu. We have to follow in their footsteps and pray that we may also become like that. He wasn't a big philosopher. He wasn't a big name in one sense. He was a householder most of the time. But such a humble person you never did meet, practically. Big size, fearless. But he was always so kind to the lowest. This is a devotee. Diro dira jano priyo priyakaro. He's kind to the gentle and the ruffians. He doesn't, you know, because you use your common sense, obviously, how we don't walk into the middle of something unnecessarily, but in the heart of hearts, this is the mood of a devotee, that he's compassionate on all. Okay, we better finish there. Time is moving on. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Transcendental book distribution ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.
Hare Krishna. sticky cake. Hare, hare. I'm trying to get up material word here.